In episode 6 of Heads in the Cloud, we're going to talk to Evan Kerstel, one of the top social media influencers, and we're also going
to keep true to the dreams of our youth.
Stay tuned.
Heads in the Cloud with your hosts, David Portnowitz and Graham Potter.
Welcome to episode 6 of Heads in the Cloud. I'm David Portnowitz, joined by
Graham Potter. Numero 6. Unbelievable.
Numero 6.
Numero 6.
Numero.
Numero 6. So fascinating. We got a, you know.
Great guest for you today. Really one of the top social media influencers in the IT space, Evan Kerstel.
Prolific communicator.
I think he tweets many
different forms.
I think he tweets one tweet every 15 to 20 seconds. I think he tweets more in a day than I've tweeted in my life.
Like a reaction, isn't it? It's incredible. I mean, he's got 132,000 followers.
That's just slightly more than the Heads in the Cloud audience.
And just slightly more. Yeah. And LinkedIn, I think something like 14,000 connections. I don't know, how many connections have you got on LinkedIn?
I have 100? Close to 1,000.
Nah.
A lot of them, though, are, you know, I get a lot of LinkedIn invitations. I don't know who the heck the people are. I just accept. What's the difference?
Well, people say that they recommend you. You're good at.
I don't have many recommendations. No? If you're out there and you want to give me a recommendation, please do. I would love that. I will not recommend you back. I'm going to be honest with you.
I remember talking to Les once about, you know, getting recommended on things that for a skill that you don't have. So what does that mean? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know.
I think the more skills that you pretend to have, the better.
Makes you a more rounded person. So.
You fake it till you make it.
Yeah, that's true.
So we're going to have a great conversation with Evan about the future of UC. Evan's, he is a well-connected, really savvy veteran of the UC space.
Some interesting companies.
Been
in
Oracle. Yeah. And a guy that is... knows what's going on, knows what's coming, is really, really, really got a cool perspective on things. So yeah. I think you're going to really enjoy the conversation. I enjoyed the conversation with him, so I think you guys will really enjoy it as well. So, some of the things we're going to talk about, what's happening from automation standpoint, what's Amazon doing, what is Google doing, what is Slack doing, how do these collaboration tools work, where is the future of that? You know, really want to get into... how that's operating within the UC space.
Cool. Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. I've not spoken to Evan before, but I've kind of indirectly on some of the communications.
Commented on some LinkedIn, Twitter, some things like that. And if you want to get in touch with us, if you want to take home one of these fantastic blue t-shirts with our pictures on them.
They are epic. Actually, what we should do is we ought to autograph some of them.
That will only decrease the value.
No. I think if you do it, you know, I mean...
Tastefully.
Make a big tasteful signature on there, David. I think it'll... I'd like to get at the little caricature thing on the side there. I know what I'm going to do. So.
Well, if you want to get in touch with us, check out www.headsinthecloudpod.com. You can also find us on Twitter, @HeadsCloud. We'd love to connect with you there. Give us a shout out and we'll send you a free t-shirt, no problem. Graham will autograph it. I will not. So, I will, but
yeah, I'll make
you have to. Right, you have to ask.
Yeah, okay. Well, ask nicely. All righty.
All right. Well, we are now going to go to our conversation with Evan, and we will see you on the other side. Today, we are joined by Evan Kerstel. At Evan Kerstel on Twitter, as many of you will probably have seen him on. He is recently named the 5th most influential B2B marketer in the U.S.
Wow.
So we're pretty lucky to have him on. I think this is a monumental occasion for the Heads in the Cloud folks here. I mean, we've had the 6th and the 7th most influential, but the 5th.
I would expect a plaque and an award for that.
The funny part is that's a self-appointed title.
So. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. You didn't need to tell the audience that. Don't give the game away, Evan. So we have you down as a title, which I think is fabulous, which is social media influencer. So
fifth best social media.
Okay, so thank you, and thank you for joining us, and welcome. Why don't you give our audience a bit of a background and a bio on yourself, Evan? Would be great.
Yeah, thanks. So I've been around the telecom industry for about 25 years for my sins. I like to joke, you know, the telecom or UC industry is kind of like the mob. You know, once you get in, you don't get out.
No, tell me about it.
You know, it's a small world, but I came up through the ranks in sales and biz dev and alliances, working for a whole host of vendors. You may have heard companies like Dialogic and Intel and AudioCodes and Acme Packet and Oracle and happily outside of the company world these days as an independent, essentially helping my clients with B2B social media marketing and content and thought leadership. Happily outside the gates of Oracle. So, I'd love to chat and share my perspective.
Not many get out of those gates.
No, they don't. So you're 25 years. David's probably how many years?
Four.
4 years. I'm 46. So, and
what's our average? Do we have a quick average?
I got to say to you, Evan, that I was fascinated by the article you put out on LinkedIn the other day, which I commented on, talking about the average age of employees and some of those named tech companies, you know, and I think I put a comment on there, something like, you know, speaking as a senior citizen, you know, as part of a tech company, a very young, rapidly growing tech company, it resonates for me. And certainly sitting alongside David here, who's probably about the age of some of my children, it's fascinating. The world that we're in is fascinating. But, yeah, doesn't it make you feel old?
It does. And it's funny, there's, you know, the old adage, there's nothing new under the sun, is so true. I mean, in particular, you think about unified communications and voice interfaces and voice first and Alexa. And you know, I remember kicking around speech recognition in the 80s. Wow. So the idea that all of this tech, particularly around, unified communications, voice and user experience is new as well. It's been a long time coming. And a lot of the technologies that make up unified communications and collaboration have taken a long time to mature. So it's been an interesting ride.
I just saw an article today that Google was expanding their personal assistant's voice into a bunch of new speakers and different services. So, I mean, it continues to grow and grow and grow. I know I have an Amazon Echo at home, and I have a little guy who's under the age of 3, and He thinks it's hysterical because Alexa can understand him now.
Really?
So he says, "Alexa, Alexa," and then he gets it to play like Wheels on the Bus and stuff. It's pretty funny to watch. Maybe about 6 months ago, it couldn't understand him, but now he's talking a little bit better, so it understands him now. So it's amazing how well those things are able to capture voice. It's incredible.
Well, I understand my accent, which always amazes me. So.
Yeah, no, it's interesting to see how Amazon really opened up this market and rejuvenated what became, you think about voice and even telecom or voice communications or voice messaging, a pretty staid, boring industry. But if you combine, you know, this natural language recognition with new voice interfaces, new devices like Alexa, and all the magic that's happening on the back end with machine intelligence, artificial intelligence, it really is, you know, a pretty revolutionary time. And what we're seeing now is like almost just the tip of the iceberg.
So speaking of Amazon, I'd love to get your take. Where do you see Amazon going in the UC space? I mean, I listen, they got enough cash to go anywhere they want. I mean, as we see, they, you know, just bought Whole Foods, and on Monday they changed all the prices. So, I mean, they can do whatever they want. So, you know, where do you have any ideas or anything cool you think they might do in this space?
Well, they started to some degree with a contact center product. You know, I think they want everything running in the cloud, and that includes real-time communications. So I think there'll be acquisitions, there'll be partnerships with people like yourself, there'll be alliances, but they want to leverage cloud for everything. And that includes voice, video, contact center, collaboration, maybe powering, you know, services like the ones you offer, but over time, you know, the idea of premises-based computing disappear.
Sure. So, you know, it's interesting for us as a company, and we're obviously, you know, around this same space to see Star to Star. I don't know how much you've seen how this company's grown over the years, which always fascinates me in the space and the world that we're in. But this is moving so fast for us.
Yeah,
you know,
it's just. I mean, every day it seems like there's a big shift in the industry. I mean, you can't even keep up.
Controversial sort of shift. Yeah, there's been a few of those in recent weeks. So
you know, from your standpoint, Evan, what most excites you? What are some of the things that you look at and you get excited about, or what are some of your clients that you have? What are they excited about?
Yeah, I think it's this new world of work, this new world of applications that are intelligent, that are mobile first, they're cloud first. We've been talking about the productivity revolution for decades, but you know, maybe we're finally arriving at real value add in terms of applications and services that can save me time and can help me with efficiency and effectiveness. And that's just happening now with, you know, the myriad of smartphone applications. I mean, I run a business that's frankly, it's a high six figures business. It's 95% on my iPhone.
Yeah.
From invoicing to content and dictation and collaboration and conferencing. And it's the iPhone-ification of business that's most interesting. And there's just so much on the back end that enables that, whether it's natural language or deep learning and to enable all these applications. So I think that's what's most exciting is applications and services that add real value. I mean, things like, you know, IBM Watson acting as an intelligent personal assistant, helping me schedule meetings and listening to my calls and taking notes. And, you know, people are familiar with Siri, but what they don't realize is, you know, this is only the very, very initial stage of this revolution. And what we're going to see in 1 to 5 years is going to really blow it away.
Yeah, it's almost like that movie Her with Joaquin Phoenix, you know, where it was like having a relationship with his digital assistant with Scarlett Johansson. I mean, it was basically she knew everything about, you know, anything, you know, and I think that's the direction we're headed in, right? I mean, be able to go through your content and understand what you want to do when you want to do it.
Yeah, and I mean, there are applications like Her that are in the lab that are being developed and that will be rolled out once the networks and the user experiences are ready. So we're going to see that and more. And the upside for the world of work is going to be pretty amazing. I mean, there are downsides about automation and displacement and other things, but the upsides for professional workers to have always available intelligent personal assistants, it'll make your work life much, much easier.
Sure. Yeah, and we get to expect more and more. The more of it that's developed, we get to expect.
There's
more.
An expectation, so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as an old guy on the call and whatever, I find it real tough to kind of keep track of some of these things now. And I always think that you've only got a finite amount of space up in that kind of gray matter that, you know, you lose something when you take on something new and what have you. And just seeing the things that have changed, and I know you and I have kind of joshed with each other over these recent episodes about how communications was all those years ago to where we are today and the things that are happening today and the expectations that people have for communication and timely communication as well. And, as I said, we've said before, it'll be a couple of bots sitting here doing this.
Botcasting.
Yeah, botcasting. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to, these new networks that are being rolled out, like 5G, and I'm looking forward to, these devices that just get more and more incredible and personal over time. But there's still a big disconnect with where you and I am as early adopters and embracers of all this change and all this technology with where your average worker is, your average business. In many cases, as you know, are still sort of in the dark ages of technology adoption.
Yeah, indeed.
Things like PBXs and things, it's shocking how much legacy equipment is still out there. So there's a long haul ahead of us.
Yeah, I mean, I think the stat that I have from what I was talking about just a few weeks ago, something like 80% of the market as of a couple of years ago was still using an old PBX, and that number was supposed to drop to about 50% in the next 3 years. But, I mean, you're still talking about 50% of the market is still using legacy phones. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, phones is with contact centers. Yeah. We had that conversation recently as well.
As much as the adoption is happening, it's still happening slow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's as opposed to something like the iPhone, which is, or the Samsung or the Android, which has had a very quick adoption. you know, the desk phone and the UC space is still not happening as quickly as I think everyone predicted or thought.
Yeah, no, it's pretty shocking. And, you know, even things like fax, you know, and POTS and services you think would have disappeared a long time ago live on. In some cases, there are valid reasons. There's just a sort of inertia. And, you know, it's like the horse and buggy existed many decades after the car was invented. So, you know, these things happened in business and the enterprise in phases. But I think over time, the value of cloud and the value of these advanced applications will be such you just can't. You can't ignore.
ROI
is just too obvious. And even things like disaster recovery, think about South Texas and what's happening. And
sure.
And I know it's the lesser of concerns right now, but all of that, you know, challenges with infrastructure that's underwater and rebuilding the whole network telecom infrastructure down there is going to be a huge task. And that's where things like cloud mean a lot, the ability to switch phone lines and switch data centers, switch locations seamlessly is big. It's something you can't ignore these days.
Sure, that's how we made our business. I mean, that's how we started it all those years ago. So reliant. You mentioned the fax word there, which I always, you know, fascinates me and makes my ears prick up, because as a European, you know, fax is really a dead technology. There's not a lot of that in Europe at all nowadays, but in North America, and we know that because we sell some fax solutions, albeit on a desktop or a mobile device or even down to a traditional fax machine, just fascinates me that a technology from all those years ago is still quite dominant in certain verticals, you know, in the financial marketplace, in real estate,
healthcare,
in government, healthcare. You know, it's incredible. Why is that? I mean, I just don't understand why a technology...
Slow to adopt, like we were talking about.
Incredible. But there are other alternatives. That's the fascinating thing about it.
Yeah, in Asia, it's even growing. So there's even more.
That's crazy.
That's crazy, yeah.
Well, you never know. I mean, they got weird trends. I mean, it's hard to predict what's going to happen in Asia.
But in any case, you know, until something better, cheaper, faster, and more useful comes along, these things just hang out there. And so it's interesting to see what will replace it.
So I'm looking at your part of your bio here, Evan, and it says you've grown your Twitter to a feed of 132,000 plus people. So do you have a target that you want to get to by the end of the year that you think you might reach? I
mean, well, this podcast will help put them there.
I'm sure it will. We're gonna get your name out there, I'm sure. But especially if you
by the end of the year.
I'm sure you will, especially if you wear that T-shirt. So. But no, I mean, I'm
the hat.
It's
the hat. You need the hat.
You need the hat. We need the HITC, like MAGA.
Yeah, okay.
No, you're not getting it.
No,
you're
not right.
I know you're a European.
I'm European. Why would I understand that? So tremendous followers there, and also LinkedIn as well. So I find that
I wanted to ask you, Evan, about your take on Slack, on that sort of workspace collaboration and sort of where you think that was going. Because that's really fascinating to me. I like those products. I like being able to work in that sort of team departmental space, be able to share and collaborate, you know, specifically with a group of people for a special project or whatever the case. So, you know, that world sort of fascinates me. Where do you see that going? What have you heard? What have you seen?
Well, I think it's clear messaging is becoming a predominant and even preferred form of communications. I mean, it was certainly for a while just sort of the millennial phenomenon, but frankly, now I think any of us in this call would prefer a text, at least to start, versus a phone call.
Yeah, absolutely. And
then it clues into a contact center or into a business or family or. And so that sort of messaging first phenomenon is driving a lot of it, and then perhaps then escalate to a call or a conference call. So yeah, we're all becoming messaging crazy. The Europeans have been way ahead of us.
Yeah,
we certainly caught up, and so that feeds into the phenomenon. And you know, the younger workforce comment means a lot of. You know, a lot of younger workers really aren't even that well schooled in communicating on the phone and phone etiquette. and voicemail etiquette and all these sort of things, but they're much more comfortable on social and messaging services. So, you know, like anything, it's an evolution. I think the key is omnichannel, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever your customers prefer, that's the channel you use. I like to engage like airlines. I find I get instant responses on Twitter versus calling into a call center. So, you know, I think it's about being everywhere and anywhere with communications versus one or the other.
Yeah, I think you have to be. I mean, if you're like you said, like a major airline, I mean, it could turn in, you know, as we've seen time and time again, it can turn into a very dire situation if you don't reply, if you're not on top of it, if you're not following what's going on social media. I mean, look what's happened to United. I mean, like, it's just, you know, one little thing after another. It's just like, and they escalate and they snowball on social media. And if you're not there to reply or to think through the reply sometimes, you know, maybe think about how it's going to resonate. It's interesting to see. And that's all from a communication standpoint.
Yeah. The flip side of that is this notion that voice is dead and, you know, voice is dying or going away, which is silly. You know, a lot of industries that are built on voice communications. And, you know, if I want to call my bank, I mean, it's got to be a quality call. Companies like 1-800-Flowers, I mean, they're not in the flowers business at all. They're in the phones business because, you know, they take calls, you know, around holidays and for birthdays, and that's the primary way people are ordering flowers. So, you know, the phones have to stay up. There's an expectation of quality of service, and the phones don't go down. That the whole web e-commerce side of things doesn't quite have. So it's an interesting evolution.
Yeah, we've become so familiar with that always-on device as a phone. You don't even think about it, do you? It's just expected to work.
The fact that you used to call someone and get a busy signal is so foreign to people. I mean, like, the other day I was trying to call. I literally was trying to call and order Chinese food. And it was busy, and I was like, what is going on? Like, is the world collapsing? Like, how could there be a busy signal? Like, I haven't had a busy signal in 15 years.
Well, it's probably a tiny little corner shop that you're trying to go to, and they probably just got a single little phone device.
I know, but it's crazy. I mean, you never hear that anymore.
Oh. Yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, the VoIP has been a long time coming. It's almost taken for granted now. We assume VoIP is baked into the network. But, you know, there's a lot of pretty lousy VoIP services out there, and there's Skype, which is pretty lousy a lot of the time. And so, you know, POTS is going away, but, you know, people still are going to demand high-quality voice services. They want increasingly HD voice. You know, they want high-quality voice codecs. And so, there's still a real need and appetite for businesses to have great quality voice communications. I see that going on. A lot of, you know, the call centers in particular, a lot of them are moving back onshore from offshore for a variety of reasons. So, you know, it's going to be an important topic for quite a while.
Yeah, we have a saying, you know, voice is king. You know, at the end of the day, I mean, we look at a number of different, we just brought out a new range of endpoints, and we spend a lot of time and a lot of effort looking at those, and we're always very careful to make sure that those devices are of quality, and certainly one of the key things at the end of the day has to be voice quality. Obviously price plays into being here, but also the features, but voice quality is significant. So,
and that's what we, I mean, it's, and like you said, Evan, I mean, it's not going anywhere. We can certainly vouch for that. I mean, it's what our business is based on, obviously. So, I mean, and the space is growing, you know, the market is growing. And so, you know, as consolidation happens and you've got this commoditization, and I think, you know, the quality is going to be important. I mean, it's going to be a big differentiator for companies that can still maintain that quality of service.
Yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, I had experience when I used a Dolby endpoint recently, you know, with HD Dolby voice, and it was pretty impressive. It was really immersive. It had like 3D audio, and, you know, those kind of experiences, those kind of conference calls, or even HD video, you know, high quality video calls on mobile are getting really good. With 5G, they'll only get better. You know, very immersive, really high quality voice and video. All of a sudden, you know, it gets kind of interesting for remote workers, for for collaboration, for teams to collaborate across borders. You know, I used to shy away for video because the quality was so crappy.
Sure. Yeah.
Hassle to set up. And all these things are getting very seamless now. So it's all of a sudden is getting really useful for the companies.
Yeah, it's becoming more ubiquitous for sure. Well, so, we want to be cognizant of time. I know we've taken up a good amount of time for you today. I mean, we really appreciate having you on. Yeah,
thanks so much for spending.
And hopefully you'll come back and maybe you'll get a second T-shirt.
But don't forget, Evan, we'd love to see a photograph. You can send us a shot back when we send you that T-shirt. And
this will get you at least.
Well,
we got to raise that 100.
You haven't seen what I look like yet.
Well, no, we know what you look like.
I've seen your avatar.
So we've got to get that 132,000 up to 200,000 up by, I don't know, I would guess
2020.
No. End of the year at least. End of the year.
Let's make voice great again.
All right. Appreciate your help and thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Evan. Have a great day.
Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We just had an excellent conversation with Evan Kerstel, who is at Evan Kerstel on Twitter.
Known as a social media influencer. That's his actual title.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Well, I see it on the sheet of paper in front of me, so I assume that's this title.
Well, I'm just putting it out there, David. I've never seen a title like that before, so...
Well, you've never talked to Evan Kerstel before.
I haven't. I know what he looks like, though.
But he was ranked the fifth. We need to get a list of the top 10.
Yeah.
See if we can get them all on, right?
Yeah, why not? He's number 5, though.
Right. But that's the highest we've talked to.
That's true.
Yeah, we haven't found 4 through 1 yet, through 4.
We're moving up, but fascinating.
Yeah, great conversation. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you don't follow him on Twitter, he's a great follow. He's posting all the time, great articles, great.
Follow him on Twitter. He's got 132,000 followers to date, and we aim by the end of the year.
We promised. It was part of our deal with getting him on the episode. Yeah,
and we're gonna send him a T-shirt.
That will help,
and that might help, and he'll wear that T-shirt and send us a photograph, and we'll use that as ammunition to try and get more followers. So. But yeah, fascinating.
But yeah, he has his take on where things are going is really important because he's on the forefront of a lot of these conversations. He's talking to these companies. He's talking to people who are leading the innovation. So I mean, he knows where things are moving. He knows the direction that the industry is headed, and he's got his finger on the pulse. So really enjoyed that conversation with Evan. I mean, I think he is someone that is
connected. I think it's probably the best way to describe it. So I just want to read you something here, David.
What are you going
to
read me?
I'm going to read you "Keep True to the Dreams of Your Youth."
What is that? Where is that from? Is that a line from a song?
No, it's from a fortune cookie that someone gave me recently. I just thought it was fascinating. And the reason I say that, talking about youth and you being the young guy, me being the old guy, Evan posted something on that fairly recently about the age of average age of employees in some of these tech companies. So, I guess myself and Les and a few of the other old folks here at Startup, so maybe they're skewing the numbers, but it just shows the average age of employees in the workforce.
Keep true?
Keep true to the dreams of your youth.
What does it say on the back? There's always something on the back of those fortunes.
Okay. It says pumpkin. Well, that's what I'm going to call you from now on. That's your nickname.
And how David Pumpkin Portnowitz. Does it have the translation for that?
And I couldn't even begin. Nan qua.
Yeah, that's pumpkin, which is actually applicable because we're about to enter pumpkin spice flavored everything in the next few weeks as Halloween and Thanksgiving take over, and it's going to be pumpkins this and pumpkins that, pumpkin
you're
beer.
You're going to be out there whittling away at your pumpkin on your doorstep, are you? No,
I don't even know how to reply.
You're lost for words there. It's speechless.
I don't.
You got to do something with the children.
Children, like the children of the world,
plural. You got two.
I have two. Yeah, had a little baby girl. Yeah, she's small.
Incredible.
Very small. But no, I don't think I will be personally cutting a pumpkin. My wife, who is much better than I will, I'm not a person you want doing crafts, arts and crafts. Not my skill set.
Okay, I've learned that about you.
But I do enjoy a pumpkin spiced flavored thing, like pumpkin beer I'm into. I get into pumpkins. I can get a pumpkin latte. Pumpkin. No, you know what's good? You ever had a pumpkin ravioli?
No, I think I'll pass on that. Thanks
pumpkin gnocchi. There's a lot of pumpkin things we can get into, but
all right, I'll take your word for
pumpkin
that,
pie. Yeah. Frederick, our producer, is telling me I should get. I don't know if I like pumpkin pie. I like chocolate pie.
Okay. you're a weird one. So, all right.
On that note, we will
sign out. This is speaking on my left. On my left side,
David Portnowitz, and on my right side,
Graham Potter, and we're
heads in the.